My favorite Stoicism writer is Donald Robertson. He wrote books like Stoicism and the Art of Happiness, How to Think Like a Roman Emperor, and more recently Verissimus, which is a graphic novel about the life of Marcus Aurelius. I am creating a new series of Stoic lessons where I feature a particular insight from Donald on a theme in Stoicism that I find important. Stoicism often gets a bad rap about being this philosophy or way of thinking that helps us to be resilient and tough. But when it comes to feelings of happiness and joy and awe, many of us might believe that we should turn to other approaches for living a good life. But is this fair to say? Can Stoicism actually help us live a more joyful life? Let's see what Donald said.
If someone has already done a certain amount of work to kind of negate typical negative emotions, let's just say like melancholy, anxiety, things like this, maybe they feel like a sense of stability in their emotional life, but they would like to experience more joy and, you know, and laughter and enthusiasm and wonder. Is there a place for this in Stoicism, and how might they access it using Stoicism?
Yeah, I think there's a way of reframing Stoicism that makes it a philosophy of love and joy. That would shock people. Like, I've said that before and people thought I was joking. I was like, no, totally, I don't joke about things like this. Like, I'm deadly serious. It's got the word love in the name. Like, we call it philosophy. Like, it's more obvious if you speak Greek. Like, it means love of wisdom. Like, they're not joking. Like, they and joy is bound up with love in the philosophy. Like, you know, when you, I think in the Greek it's more obvious, actually. In the translation, somehow the way that we translate some of the terms kind of obscures the role that positive emotions play in Stoic philosophy a little bit. It gets a bit a little bit lost in translation. But for sure, Marcus Aurelius has a systematic model of how to cultivate joy, believe it or not. As Pierre Hadot points out, in the Meditations, there's it's a highly structured text in some ways. Like, I remember talking to people in the past, and they said, Meditations is not systematic. It's just a bunch of random musings. No, it's, like, really structured. In some, not in terms of the structure of the chapters, but he has this model in mind that Hadot talks a lot about, where he says there's kind of like a threefold or a fourfold classification that he uses over and over and over again. So the four cardinal virtues are these kind of three levels of relationship. So this goes back, I think, to the earliest Stoics like Zeno and Cleanthes and Chrysippus. They think we have a relationship with ourselves. We have a relationship with God or the cosmos as a whole. So the Stoics are pantheists, so those are the same thing. Like, God, stroke, the universe, like everything, like the totality of things we relate to. And then we also have a relationship with the rest of mankind. Like, so we, they thought of it in terms of these kind of, like, three levels. And Marcus Aurelius has a systematic model for cultivating joy. So he thinks we should find joy in our relationship with ourselves by focusing on and celebrating. He says the way to do that is we have to learn to cherish what's healthiest in our own character. So we have to change our values so that what we really celebrate and we really prize our own flourishing, basically. And then we create this kind of cybernetic loop or whatever, whereby, you know, the thing that we enjoy the most is the thing that's healthiest for us. Like, i.e., we have to celebrate virtue. Like, you know, because the Stoics believe virtue is our optimum state. Like, to virtue is just the life of reason. It's just us reaching our potential. Like, so a man who really takes pride in achieving wisdom, like, and takes time to really contemplate that and praise himself for it is going to be somebody that's kind of stays on the right path more in life. And we can take pleasure in that. We can get, I guess you would, one of the main criticisms that Christians made of the Stoics was they thought that they indulged in pride because they didn't focus enough on the grace of God and salvation being due to God's kindness and generosity and grace or whatever. They thought we were responsible for our own salvation. But actually most today, like we've come back round to that. Like we place more emphasis on personal responsibility than the early Christians did. And so we're back kind of where the Stoics were. But the Stoics think if you take responsibility for your own well-being, and that's the most important thing to you, then what does it mean to succeed? What does it mean to sense that you're making progress? You'd feel something, for want of a better word, you'd experience some kind of pride or satisfaction or self-respect or self-esteem or something like that, right? You'd be looking at yourself going, this is what it's all about, buddy. I'm making some kind of progress here. I'm trying. I'm making an effort. I'm working on myself and I'm getting a little bit better every day. That's the main thing to me. It's what gives me a sense of satisfaction when I look in the mirror each day. Like, I think I'm a better person than I was yesterday. So that's a source of joy for the Stoics. And they think that's the number one. That's the main thing. We have to recalibrate so that we're experiencing joy in our own self-improvement, basically. The second one is that how do we do this? We do it in part by modeling virtue that we perceive in other people. So we surround ourselves with the right people. Seneca, I don't know if Seneca really said this, but it's often attributed to Seneca, this Latin saying, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. So the Stoics say, you have to try and keep good company. Seek out role models, people that you find inspirational in life and that you can learn from. So Marcus Aurelius does this in Book 1 of the Meditations. The whole of Book 1 of the Meditations is an exercise in joy. He literally describes that later in the book. He says, in order to gladden your heart, reflect on the virtues of others. He says that. He explains that's what he's doing. Book 1, you see him actually doing it. So this is an exercise in joy. He's rejoicing. He's thinking, what are the things that I really admire about my adoptive father? And he's training himself to take pleasure in contemplating the best in other people, because he thinks this is a healthy joy. Like, if you're the sort of person that really, can genuinely, sincerely admire other people for their wisdom, then that's going to benefit you. Like, it's a very healthy philosophy of life to have. And so that's in terms of our relationship with others. In relationship with the cosmos as a whole, for the Stoics, it has to do with accepting our fate. And basically, Marcus talks about this in terms of training and gratitude. He says something, I think this is worth kind of explaining, because to me it's one of the most curious and profound things that he says. Marcus says that normally people imagine absent things as if they were present and they desire them. So you think, I don't have a Ferrari, but it'd be really cool if I had one. And Marcus says this causes craving and pain. So you're imagining what it'd be like to have something you don't have, and it causes a sense of kind of longing or craving that's painful. And it's maladaptive as well, because you're responding to something imaginary rather than like responding to your real situation. It's not. And it causes you to devalue what you currently have. So it's a kind of unhealthy way of doing things. And he says if you do the opposite and you imagine present things as if they were absent, the emotion that you cultivate is gratitude. So this sounds ridiculous, right? But one of my favorite things is to imagine that I don't have a roof in my house. Like, when it's snowing in Canada, and I'll think, geez, man, a few hundred years ago, people were living in little shacks, reading the Bible by candlelight in Canada in the winter. What was that like? They must have been freezing, And I'm like, so lucky. We've got the internet now and microwave ovens and stuff. So to experience gratitude for simple things that you take for having a roof over your head, having double glazing and stuff, having any food at all, it's a much healthier attitude to adopt, Marcus thinks. So this is the joy that the healthy joy that we can potentially get from our material environment, from the fate that befalls us, from the external universe. So there's ways of getting healthy joy from observing ourselves, from observing other people, and from observing external events. There's a whole system of joy in Stoicism.
I hope that you enjoyed that, took some value from it. Couple of quick things.
If you can leave a rating for the podcast wherever you're listening to it, that really helps new people find it. And I also love reading reviews, so let me know what you think about it. And if you want to go further and get access to all of my premium meditations and audio courses, Ask Me Anythings, workshops, etc., consider subscribing to Stoic Handbook Premium with a free trial, either directly within Apple Podcasts or over at stoichandbook.supercast.com. It's the same thing, just two different ways to access it. And I'll see you back here for the next episode of the Stoic Handbook Podcast.